This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. I figure if we're going to preach a sermon about perspectives and points of view, I'm going to take a different perspective
today.
Shake things up a little bit. So there's a question that's been studied a little bit when it comes to this text. And the question is, why does the younger son end up in the state that he does? In this place of rock bottom. That question was asked in three different countries. To a lot of people, to about 100 people from each of the countries, or areas, I should say, areas of the world. They're not all countries. Two continents, one country. But Mark Allen Powell, who's a New Testament scholar, theologian, and author, in his book, What Do They Hear? Views from Across the World, he asked in three areas, Russia, Africa, and North America, why did the prodigal son end up where he did and in the state he was in? In all three places had a majority answer that was different
from the other two. So, when the question was asked in Russia, the people in Russia had recently experienced a famine. It took entire communities to the point where they had nothing. So when asked, why did the son end up in the state he was in? They said the famine. The people of Africa, they knew what it was like to depend on one another and on neighbors for something. And they were in communities that would not make it if no one shared with one another. So when asked, why did the son end up this way? They said, because no one gave him anything. The people of North America, we come from a context without too many major famine experiences, especially the people he was talking to, and in which individualism is often lifted up over communal living, and it sees a lot of people who seem to spend their money foolishly. So when asked the question, why does the younger son end up in this state? The majority answer by far in North America was, well, he squandered what he was given in dissolute living. He wasted it. He spent it foolishly. You see, we're informed by our culture, our history, our memory, by the stories of our family, our core convictions, our assumptions about ourselves, our assumptions about others, and about the way the world works. We're informed by all of these things, and they shape our perspective, how we read and hear and receive and process the information that comes to us. See, there's this thing that comes out of kind of the realm of statistics, and you may have heard it, there's words called confirmation bias. And that means that we tend to read and process information and find what we already assume to be true. So we tend to, like, so you and I could read the same article, or perhaps people from three different countries around the world could read the same story and be asked the same question, and they would answer it differently. And part of that is that we're looking for what we already know to be true. What we already assume to be the way the world works. So we're looking for what will confirm what we already think. Often more so than we're looking for something that will challenge what we already believe or think. This can be particularly troubling with a known story like this one, because we wonder if we can find something new, right? We've heard it before and we're spending 3 weeks on it. We're in week two. Why is it hard to think that there might be something new in here? Well, some of the time, often I think, it's because we've not sought ways to move out of our comfort zones, out of our assumptions, out of our privilege, out of our denominational commitments, out of our own kind of normal sphere. But it's important to question our assumptions, to take on a mindset of curiosity, to hear views other than our own, because, like I was just saying with the kids, right? Like, if I'm looking this way, you're seeing behind me, like, I maybe know because I can hear it, that it's raining. I can't see out the windows. I need you for that. I need people with a different perspective and viewpoint so that I can glean the new things, the things that I would miss because I'm looking for what I already know. And because I'm so informed by my own background. You see, if we only listen to others with similar views or the same perspective, the same history and culture and language, the same gender and race and sexual orientation, the same country of origin as our own, a few things happen. One, we begin to believe that we know, understand, see, and read in the one and only correct way. The second thing that happens if we stay within our comfort zone and listening to only those who are just like us. We run the risk of discounting the very valid views of others. And we may not ever realize when we're wrong or hear the valid points of a differing view, whether our perspective changes or not. We'll fail to hear the important pieces that others have to say. And the third thing that happens is that we only get a part of the whole. We only get a piece of the truth, right? You know the saying, there's two sides to every story. Often there's more than that. We only end up with a piece of the truth, and we won't see the fullness of what God is revealing to us. You know, I think there's a reason that in their wisdom, the early church decided to include four accounts of the gospel in Scripture. Four accounts that have different perspectives and goals and some different stories and some same stories with different details that all were included. There's a value in diverse perspectives. We learn more when we move out of our comfort zones and listen to those who are different from us. We must see through another's eyes and hear through their ears. Experience their culture and context, their perspective and language. And the way that we do that is by listening to them. I mean, really listening to them. Setting aside our judger mindset and not jumping to a defense of our own assumptions, but listening, putting on a mindset of curiosity and learning and being willing to question our assumptions. To say to ourselves, you know, I might be wrong. Believe it or not, I have been once or twice. If we can begin to say to ourselves, I might be wrong, and set aside our assumptions and really listen to one another, we can grow and become able to love God and neighbor and to grow in deeper relationship with God and one another as we see through their perspective, as we listen to what they have to say. We have to talk to people instead of about them. Talk to them, to listen to them. And beginning with the thought that there's a good chance that we may be wrong, we listen to others with an openness that they might be right. And in doing this, we start to see with compassion and empathy why people would journey hundreds of miles with little to no food, rest, or money to escape great danger, to risk this brutal journey in the hopes of finding asylum and respite. See, when we listen to learn rather than to judge, that's when we start to experience the things that this son of the letter writer that Mike shared in Bridges to Life began to see, right? When he heard the perspective of those who he had harmed, he began to enter into a deeper relationship with God and one another. He began to experience a deeper truth that lied beneath it. You see, when we start to hear the stories of our sisters and brothers and to see them as our family rather than a group outside our own, to see them as a citizen rather than a stranger, as a neighbor to be loved rather than someone to be feared, then we grow in our ability to see with the eyes and hear with the ears of Christ, who, like the Father in the story, is not primarily concerned with why the younger son ended up in such a state, but is focused on loving his sons, his children, both the younger and the older, and making sure that they know they are a part of the family. They are one another's brother, and they are children of their father. And the father makes sure that their basic needs are met and then some, that they're recipients of grace, freedom, and life abundant and everlasting. So, why did the prodigal son end up where he did and in the state he was in? Was it the famine? Was it that no one gave him anything? Or was it that he squandered what he had? Yes. You see, the third way of thinking and mindset that Christ embodies, teaches, and calls us into is much more a both and than an either or. And when we listen and learn and hear from those with different perspective and background and culture, with different skin color or language or country of origin, then we grow in this both and way, and we get a fullness of the picture so that we're not so set in our own assumptions that we miss some of what's going on, what God is saying. Then we miss an opportunity to grow deeper in faith and love toward God and neighbor. So just as the Father offers love to both sons, calls them both his children, and comes out to meet them both, and still has love and grace and forgiveness to share, we are called to listen to love, to serve both our friends and our enemies, both those who are like us and those who we call them, other, outsider, because it's all from and all for the grace, compassion, and love of God in Christ from which nothing can separate.